In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, please take a floor space or beanbag. Thank you so much to Matt and the band and Ed and Graham. Graham's probably been here all day today, pretty much doing some stuff around the church. So thank you so much, you guys. And obviously, thank you to Matt for leading us so well. That's been great. And to Isaac and Emily as well. So great stuff. So we're going to play a game a bit later on. Is that all right? It's not one that Ginny or Ben has made up. So that's a relief for everybody, isn't it? When I, don't put it up just for the minute, thanks Nick. When I was younger, my family were into canoeing. And we had a few canoes, and so when I was old enough to go, my dad reloaded it up, and me and my brothers went off, and we went to this river that we used to canoe in. And I got in the canoe, and I was pretty good at it, enjoyed doing it, loved it. And I don't know quite how, but I managed to capsize, because there was no waves, because I was in a river, so it wasn't particularly, you know, fast-flowing river. But anyway, I managed to capsize, and obviously at first I was a bit alarmed, and I started splashing my arms around, and I was like beginning to panic a little bit, until I heard this voice shout from the side of the riverbank, "Mark, stand up!" And I suddenly realized as I stood up that the water only came to my knees. I sometimes think that when it comes to God's Spirit, we are sometimes flapping around. And when we suddenly stand up, we realize we're not really in it much. That it's just coming up to our knees. And I want to talk tonight about the presence of God. And I want to live. You see, this is something which, obviously, I've known about the presence of God since the day I became a Christian, really. But I want to live where I'm not just paddling around in the shallows of the Spirit. I want it to be above my head. Do you know what I mean? I want to be unescapable. Have you ever jumped into the deep end of a swimming pool? And when you can't touch the bottom, and all you can really do is just sort of either swim or float there, or if you can't swim, sink. You know? And I want to be in that place where there's no escaping the fact that I can't just stand up in it. I want it to be overwhelming in one sense. And so we want to talk about what this means, this thing that we call the presence of God. You can whack the slide up now. Thank you. But are you in the shallow end, or do you want to be where it's just over us? In Exodus 33, it says, God said, "My presence will go with you. I'll see the journey to the end." And we know that we're on this journey. Life is often described as a journey, isn't it? And in our life journey, in this place that we're in, God says, he promises us that his presence will go with us. I used to live in a little house which was so small that when I did get married and Cass moved in with me, you could have a conversation with her in any room in the house. Because it was that small. So I could be standing in the kitchen, Cass could be upstairs in the bathroom, and we could still have a conversation. Because you didn't even have to shout, you could just speak, and it would travel right the way up. It was great in some ways, but also meant there was nowhere you could go to escape each other. Which you might think when you're newly married, that's a good thing, but just occasionally, it was a bit like, you know, for goodness sake, just, you know, well, you'll know what it's like one day. But I think we all know what it's like to have, well, maybe we don't, but have you ever experienced that thing when just someone's with you all the time. Do you know what it's like to have a presence following you around? Maybe you don't. Maybe you've got little brothers and sisters who follow you around, and they're just an irritation of a presence that won't leave your feet around or whatever. But when we're talking about the presence of God, we're talking about His Spirit being with us wherever we are. You see, God is everywhere at all times. God is everywhere at all times. Do we believe that? Do you believe that God is everywhere at all times? Because if we actually believe that, that changes something about the way we live our lives. You know, for the last, I don't know when it started for me, maybe 8 months, for the last 8 months, I cannot get away from this word of wanting to be in the presence of God. Right? That doesn't mean that every single day of my life, I walk along skipping and thinking, oh, I'm in the presence of God. Okay? But I want us to be aware of it more. I want us to learn to live in it. This is what I want for myself, and I hope you want it for you. What do I mean that by that? Well, that if God is everywhere, the theological term is omnipresent. If God is everywhere, then that means that when you're on your buses or in your cars going to school, God is with you right at that moment. Aggie's experienced that when she was on the bus. She asked that man if you could pray for him, didn't he? You know? That's being in the presence of God. When you're speaking with your friends who might be atheists, God is in that. He's there with them as well. God goes to the atheist church in London. None of them know that, but he's there. He is. They have no idea, sadly. But he is in that building. They'd be gutted if they knew that, wouldn't they? Or actually, maybe they wouldn't, because if they knew that, they might turn to him, mightn't they? He's in mosques. He's in some churches. He's in all churches. Because he's everywhere. Thing is, not everyone can recognize him. But God's presence is everywhere because God is everywhere at all times. There isn't a time, God, there isn't a time. I think I, when I first become a sort of a Christian, I used to think that God only really wanted to be near me when I was being nice or being good. And that was in those times when I thought, yeah, I'm being a really good Christian that God wanted to be with me. And actually, that's a complete lie. Because God wants to be with me even when I'm being an idiot, which is quite a lot of the time. Even when I'm saying things that I wish I hadn't said. Even when I'm looking at things that I shouldn't be looking at. Even when I'm doing stuff I shouldn't be doing. In those moments, God is still with me. He doesn't just suddenly decide to pack up and leave because he's annoyed with me. Because his presence is there. He's with us all the time, everywhere. Even in the times when we are struggling, even in the times when we might say, turn our backs on God, God is still with us. But you see, he wants us to live in a close relationship with him. My brother's wedding was a strange affair. Nice occasion in many ways. It wasn't a church wedding, wasn't a Christian wedding. Got married in this like country house. One of his best man was a woman. One of her bridesmaids was a man. It was a bit of a strange affair. They were very adamant, you know, there can be no God in their wedding at all. So I sat there during the ceremony, just praying in tongues the whole way through the ceremony. You know, God was in their wedding. He was there. He was present. They didn't want him to be because they don't know him, but he was there. One of my friend's weddings just recently in the summer, they asked me to be involved. Again, it wasn't a church wedding, wasn't a Christian wedding. They were having their vows had no mention of God or anything like that. They weren't allowed that to be the case. They were having it in this nice sort of venue, and but they wanted me to be involved in it. They wanted me to say a few words about them. Well, I'm thinking, I got told several times by the registrar, you cannot mention God. She could not get it in her head. Why does he want you to speak at their wedding if you're a minister of the church? Why don't you just marry them? I said, well, they don't want a Christian marriage because they're not Christians. But they want me to speak at their weddings. I've been friends with them for over 25 years. And she was just like, I don't understand it. And I was like, well, you don't understand that their friend wants to speak at their wedding. And she could not get her head round it. So she kept on saying, well, you cannot mention God. Okay, I won't mention God. Cannot be anything religious in it. Okay. So as I got up to speak, one of the first things I said was, there's an old proverb. And I shared the proverb. Didn't mention that the proverb was in the book of Proverbs in the Bible, but only his mum and dad and his best man's mum and dad knew that, because they were the only Christians I knew. And I saw them often, and they were like the way you got the Bible in. And you see, God was in that place because he's everywhere, all of the time. Are we aware of it? Are we aware of it? You see, I want to get into this pattern of living where I am just so aware that God is with me everywhere I go. And it's easy to forget, isn't it? And I was trying to think, how can I remember that? Because I don't know why, but we forget it. We just do sometimes. Our lives get so full, we forget that God's with us in it all. And you know, I think, you know, maybe when you're just walking down the road and if the wind is blowing on your face, think maybe that is just God. Not that God is the wind, because he made the wind, but that as it blows on your face, think, God's around me, he's with me. I don't know, you might not find that helpful, but I'm just trying to find a way that we remember that God is everywhere. I used to know somebody who used to go into sex shops which sold sex toys and all of this other stuff, and he used to walk around and just pray around the whole shop. Because he was thinking, there probably ain't much of God in this place, and so he wanted to come and just pray into it. You see, God is everywhere. Are we going to open our eyes and think and know that God is wherever we are, wherever we go? You know, the Bible says that, where can I go to escape from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? I can't. The psalmist said I could go up to the heavens. I could go to the moon. You know, the first meal that they ever had on the moon was bread and wine. They didn't have cheese, to my knowledge. Buzz Aldrin, who was the second man to step on the moon after Neil Armstrong, when he got to there, he told Houston, do you mind if we just have a moment? And he blessed some bread and some wine, and they had communion on the moon. Isn't that cool? One day we'll all be doing that, because we'll be living up there, but maybe. I'll just put the next slide on, Nick. The prophet Isaiah said, the whole earth is full of his glory. Now, there's some people who look at things and say God is a tree, or, you know, God is a field. Let's not get it mistaken. God created those things, but he is not those things. But, you know, his presence is around us. You might not be somebody who finds looking at creation particularly a moving experience. But God is everywhere at all times. You see, are we in the shallow end? Are we happy just kicking around in the shallows, or do we want to get deep into God? I know where I want to be. And it ain't kicking around in the shallows. So the presence of God, first of all, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. Secondly, God is in us. This is, again, kind of known as the indwelling presence of God. When you become a Christian, God comes to live inside of us by his Holy Spirit. Now, try and explain that. I can't. It's an absolute mystery. How the creator of the world, how this God who I've just said is omnipresent, is everywhere at all times, that he actually chooses to come when we ask him to come and live inside of us. How amazing is that? I can't explain how it happens. It's a mystery. But what a wonderful mystery. And it's when the Holy Spirit is living in us, this indwelling, that we begin to be able to operate in the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. And, you know, I believe that God gives us all gifts. Some of us he might give just one very specific gift that he wants us to really use. Others he might give multiple number of gifts. But he gives us these gifts that we might serve him. And serve others. They're not for us to, you know, if someone's given the gift of, say, preaching, it's not for them to put themselves on a pedestal and make themselves look great. That's not using the gift. It's always for the benefit of others and that God's glorified through it. I had a very real sense when I gave my life to Jesus at the age of 14. At that moment I said, Jesus, I want to follow you. That I felt the Spirit of God come right through my toes and up my whole body, right to my fingertips and the top of my head. And I couldn't stop myself from moving. I had to walk forwards at that point. I just couldn't stop myself. My whole body began to move. And I felt at that very moment, at 14, God had suddenly made me his home. The indwelling of his presence. What does that mean for us? That means wherever we go, yes, God is everywhere, but also wherever we go, he's in us. Isn't that cool? That's why when you're chatting to your friends who might be atheists, or when I'm going to a wedding which isn't Christian and there cannot be any mention of God, little be known to them, I'm taking Christ in that place because he's in me and he's in us, isn't he? And it's exciting. It's like we're little secret agents for Jesus. It's brilliant. I love that kind of thing. Well, you know those moments when you're talking to someone? Can you talk to someone, listen to what they're saying, but also be thinking something else at exactly the same time? Can you guys do that? Because that happens quite a lot. And I think if you're ever talking to your friends who are atheists or they're trying to, you know, really belittle your faith, as you're talking to them, listen, be interested, but in your mind, just get praying. Oh, God, will you just, you know, come and do your business in them right now. And they're not going to know. But it's brilliant, isn't it? You can hold this conversation and at the same time be praying that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. How cool is that? I think that's excellent. Who knows what God's going to do at that moment? This is what it says in John. Get your life from me and I will live in you. No branch can give fruit by itself. It has to get life from the vine. Ben, don't leave me hanging. Thank you. You are able to give fruit only when you have life from me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Get your life from me. Then I will live in you and you will give much fruit. You can do nothing without me. You can do nothing without him. So you see, the presence of God is that God is an omnipresent. He is everywhere at all times. But also when we give ourselves to him, when we look to him for life, he comes and lives in us. He indwells in us. And then another way the Bible describes the presence of God is, I've kind of put it down as God's sort of special moments. One of the ways it's described is a manifest presence. So when God manifests himself in a specific way. This is just a little example of it in the Old Testament, in Chronicles. It says, then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. It's when a special anointing on a special sort of place in a specific time. So, you know, you might have had it, those of you who sort of worship regularly, just times when you feel in your place of worship, maybe it's a generator, maybe it's been at Soul Survivor, other things where you've just felt, man, there's been just a real even heavier sense of God's Holy Spirit. Because let's not forget, he's everywhere all of the time. And he's also in us. But there's times when it just sort of like more. Maybe it's like when you're standing in the deep end of the swimming pool and someone just sprays a whole load more water on your head. You can't get any wetter, but it's, I don't know, it's like more, you know? So actually we see that happen often at Generator when God sort of manifests his spirit even more because we pray for healing. Every time someone gets healed, it's like God manifesting more of his spirit at that time, more of his presence. It's when his power is really flowing. And that can be in a meeting like this, but it can also be when we're perhaps on our own in our rooms. I've told you before, I know I have, just when I was watching a video clip on YouTube in the office one day. I was on my own, just watching a worship song on YouTube. I felt I just had to stop, and I was writing a sermon, I just stopped and watched it. And at that moment, as I started watching it, just felt God's spirit sort of just fall over me again. And I started praying, and the song finished, and I was just praying in tongues for the next 10 minutes. I started reading this book called Developing a Supernatural Lifestyle. A practical guide to a life of signs, wonders and miracles. Sounds good, doesn't it? You see, I want to learn how I can understand and submerge myself in the presence of God every day. What does that mean for us in the everyday? Because as I said earlier, I don't skip around with unicorns and fairies thinking how great God is every single day. In fact, I was feeling really pumped up for tonight after I'd finished my sermon. I got in my car between driving from the church to my home, which is only a 5-minute drive. I got really annoyed with 3 other drivers. By the time I'd got home, I felt anything but the presence of God. And I remember on the last sort of 100 meters of the drive saying, "Oh God, I need your presence. I've just been really getting annoyed with 3 drivers and I've only just been reading about your presence and I'm already not in that place," you see. So we need to be aware of it. So here's just the 2 things. I'm going to get Ginny up to share some amazing stories in a moment. Put the next slide up, please, Nick. And the next one. God's presence every day. 2 things. It's a terrible slide, I know, I'm sorry about that. I've run out of time. First of all, it's as simple as just being aware of these things. Aware that God is everywhere and at all times. Aware that God is in us. And aware that when we ask him, God can manifest more, in a sense, more of his spirit into that place at that time for that whatever purpose. But you see, it's not just being aware. It's about pushing beyond what we're comfortable with and letting God challenge us. Choosing faith over the fear. Let me give you a story that I heard just over the weekend. I just love this story. This youth group were given the challenge of taking a little pot of bubbles. You know, the bubble mixture that you blow? And they had to swap the pot of bubbles and then meet back at their church and see who could basically swap the bubbles for the most impressive item. So they all shoot off, and one girl who we think was about 15 was on the bus going into town to swap her bubbles. And while she was on the bus, she was aware of God saying to her, "I want you to swap your bubbles for a wedding dress." And she just thought, that is never going to happen. But she sensed that she was aware of God saying, "I want you to swap it for a wedding dress." So she gets into town, they start swapping the bubbles for stuff. She ends up with a broken mirror and a wooden jewellery box. And so she's walking along with these two items. Don't know how she got to those two items, but she did. And she sees a wedding dress shop. And she thinks, you know what? Let's do this. She chooses faith over fear. So she goes into this wedding dress shop. She goes up to the woman at the counter and says, I need a wedding dress, but I have no money. All I have is this broken mirror and this wooden jewelry box. And the woman behind the counter says, you see that rail there? Pick any one of those three dresses on the rail. So she's thinking, all right, she's playing a little game with me here. So she goes up to the three dresses, takes the one off the mid, out the middle, gives it to the woman in the shop. She begins to fold it up and she boxes it up and she gives it to the girl. And even I think at this point, the girl's thinking, she's going to stop me in a minute. And she picks up this wedding dress all boxed up and walks out the shop. It gets better. She goes back to the church. Somebody had managed to swap their pot of bubbles for a sofa. That's pretty cool as well. That's a different story that I don't know the details of. Anyway, so she takes back this wedding dress. They carry on. That was on a Friday. On the Sunday, the church get a phone call from a couple who are planning to get married. And they've had to bring their wedding forwards because the man had found out that he only had a certain amount of time to live. And so they planned their wedding and they thought they needed to bring it forwards because they obviously wanted to enjoy being married in the time that they had left because he was given a time when, you know, he would die. And so this is the Sunday and they were planning to get married on the Wednesday. And they said, look, because of everything being moved forwards, we don't have a wedding dress. I don't suppose you have one. And they said, well, funnily enough, we got one on Friday. So the woman came to try on the wedding dress. And it fitted her perfectly. They didn't have to do any adjustments. You see, that girl of 15 was aware that the Spirit of God, His presence is everywhere at all times, even on that bus. And she was prepared to try and hear His voice. And having heard something completely ridiculous of swapping, going from a pot of bubbles to a wedding dress, she then made a choice to take faith over fear and to go into that wedding shop and just take a punt and ask for it. And obviously God was at work in all of that situation. You see, that for me is a great example of living in the presence of God every day. Sometimes God will say things to us which we think are utterly ridiculous. But maybe it is God. It's not always God. Peter Nodding was telling me at the conference that we both went to a session on prophecy. And we had to sort of do a bit of an exercise afterwards and someone prophesied over him. And they said, well, let me share what I've got. I don't know if it's from me. I had a dream last night and I was in the bath. And at this point, Peter was thinking, this is a bit weird. This is the woman sharing it. She was in the bath. And then a man came into her bathroom with a monkey and then started to drown the monkey. And Peter went, I think that's for you. Now, we were talking about that, and we came to the conclusion that was not God, from thinking it through a little bit, and Peter was pretty sure that was not from God. So sometimes ridiculous things aren't from God. But actually, are we just prepared to do it? Are we prepared to be listening and looking? And, you know, sometimes God wants to speak to us and, you know, make His presence aware by things that we see. Maybe it's things that we do that, you know, might be that God says to you one day as you're walking along, go and give that person all the money in your pocket. Are we prepared to be in the deep end? Or are we just kicking around in the shallows? You see, to truly, I think, live in the presence of God every day. We've got to be prepared to take the risk of it going over our heads at times. That we can't just stand up. We have to rely on him. That we can't just swim it away. Ginny, come up. I just wanted to, Ginny, just to share a couple more examples of this being aware of the presence of God, pushing beyond and then choosing to do something about it. So just in the last few days, Ginny did some treasure hunting, and I'll let you go from there.
So for those of you who don't know what treasure hunting is, it's basically when you sit for like 5 minutes with a piece of paper and you just listen, you pray and just listen to God and see what he says to you with the intention that you're going to go out to a specific place and look for the clues that you feel God's saying to you. So for example, we wrote on this paper categories like names, appearance, location, prayer need, and then like any extras. So I was doing this at this conference. And I'd heard this story, that the story Mark just told about the wedding dress previously. So already inside me, there was this faith rising up over the fear. And I was like, all right, let's just do this. I'm just going to trust God with what he gives me and see what kind of comes from it. So I went out on a team with two other like older Baptist ministers. One guy called Steve and one guy called Tim. This guy called Steve, he was literally like sniffing around. Like, he was almost like sniffing around to like nowhere to go. And he had a list of things. On his list, he had, I'll tell you them because it's really exciting at the end of the story. He had on his list statue Melanie. So location was, statue was like referring to the location. Melanie was the name. Tinnitus, which is like an ear problem, was their prayer need. What was the other thing? And wings, like an eagle and its wings was the like extra little detail. And so we've been walking around this village for like an hour. So we're in Derbyshire, which is like middle of the country, really like cute little area. And we've been walking around for an hour, and none of our clues had really come up. We'd spoken to a few people and offered to like pray for a few people, and no one had really like gone in for it. And then suddenly Steve walks past his house and sees like a fountain and like a statue in the middle of this driveway, and he's like, right, I think this is the house. So he's like, do you want to come with me? And he marches up to this woman's door. And then, like, knocks on the door. And this guy is, like, some big guy, ex-policeman, like, quite menacing. He looks a bit scary, like, really lovely, but he looks a bit scary. And I was just like, oh, gosh, what are we doing? We look a bit like cold callers, like salespeople. So it kind of helped that I was there. I don't know if it helped that I was there, but I didn't think I looked like a salesperson. Anyway, this woman opens the door, and she's like, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing here? And he's like, this is going to sound a little bit weird, but... we've basically been doing something called a treasure hunt, and we've listened to God, and we feel like he's led us to your door. And she's like, right, like, sure. And he's like, does your name happen to be Melanie by any chance? And she said, my name's Michelle. So he was like, oh, no. And then she said, but actually people call me Melanie, even though that's not my name. And we were like, sweet, like, one tick. And then he was like, right, do you want us to have a look at my sheet of paper I've written on a few other clues and see if any of them match up? And her face kind of like started to change. And so what was the other clues? She was like, yeah, I've just had tinnitus, this ear thing, and now I have vertigo, which is another ear condition. And he was like, cool. And he said, I think God's led us to you. And she was still like very surprised and just didn't know what to say. And then she said to us, this is going to freak you out. And we were like, surely not. Like, we thought we were scaring her more than she was going to scare us. And she said, I've just come back from an eagle experience day. I've just held a golden eagle. And we were like, what? Like, it kind of blew our minds off as well. Because I think we went out of faith in us, but like our expectancy for God to pull through on every clue. Because part of you, when you're writing these things down, you just write what kind of comes into your head. Part of you is just a little bit like, this is going to be a bit hit and miss. And often it is. So that was an amazing story. We ended up praying for her for healing, which is awesome. And then Steve shared his testimony. So that was just cool. It was just really, really encouraging for us as well, which is what is cool when stuff like this happens. It's like it not only blessing people, other people, and showing them that actually God knows you personally. Like, it was amazing for this woman to know that God knew her. Like, God had given us her name, her condition, had somehow through some... told Steve, they've given this eagle clue, like, how, that's not a coincidence, and she knew it, like, you could tell in her face, she knew it wasn't just coincidence, like, that's, how can it be, how could we have known all that, and that was literally all he had written down on his paper, So already we were like, whew, this is crazy. And I wasn't feeling that discouraged. Not many of my clues had really come up, but I was just like, I enjoyed being with these guys. They were really, really great men of God. And then we were walking back up to the conference center, and one of my clues on my sheet of paper was black woman with purple accessory in her hair, and I had the name Margaret and a few like illnesses. And I kind of didn't really expect us to see any black people in this village, because it was like very white, there was no black people around at all. There was only really like white people in the area. So we're not going to see her. So we started walking back up to the conference center, and then this guy said, he said, did any of the clues ever come up later down the line? And I was like, I don't know, I guess God could do something with them. And I kind of said it really half-heartedly. And then later on, I was walking back into like the evening meeting, and then suddenly Steve, this like big guy, came up to me, and he was like, "That's the black lady over there with purple in this like really amazing like purple scarf wrapped into her hair." And so I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." And then I lost sight of her; she like slipped away, and I was like, "Dang!" I'm like, "That was my woman. That was my treasure, not my treasure, God's treasure." Anyway, but and then so later, I went back into the conference center because I went for a wee and I came back. And then, as I came back in, and I came back in and I was like, God, if you want me to speak to her, if this is the woman, then show me her. There was like 200, 300 people there or something. There was a few hundred, and I was like, I don't know, I can't see where she is. And then suddenly, from the front of the conference hall, she like springs up at the front, and everyone else around her was sitting down. Like, this lady just stands up at the front, this black lady. And amazing purple scarf in her hair, and I was like, I just went straight towards her. I was like, yes, she's there. And so I went up to her, and I was like, and I knew she wouldn't be as freaked out as the woman. She knows that this lady is a Christian, she knows about treasure hunting. And I just said, oh, I was doing a treasure hunt in the village this afternoon, I was looking for someone of your description, and she wasn't there, but I think it's you. And she was like, cool, let's go out the back, and let's have a conversation at the back. So went out, and then I was like, does the name I've got on my sheet is Margaret, does that mean anything? And I've got a couple of illnesses, and her face kind of changed a little bit, and she looks a bit surprised, and she was like, yeah, my sister's name is Margaret, no one calls her that, we call her pet name instead. My sister's name is Margaret, and she's really, really ill at the moment, and I haven't rung her in a while, and I really need to give her a ring, and I think God's basically saying to you that I just need to ring her and pray for her. And so I was like, oh gosh. And so we just stood and prayed for her, and like prayed for healing for her, even though she wasn't there. And I prayed over their phone conversation, and then God gave me some, like a scripture to give to this lady. And, it was just really cool. And it was cool. It was amazing to be able to like bless someone through that, and to just know that it was like none of me. It was all of God just speaking through me. And yeah, I just came back really encouraged, and we were in the office today talking about how we're in a place, we're always surrounded by people, and we're always surrounded by people who don't know God and do know God. And God wants to make himself known to us. Like the whole thing Mark's been speaking about is God wants to reveal himself to us. It's like pretty obvious from everything we can see around us. And he wants people to know that he knows them personally. So we were just talking today in the office about keeping our eyes open. Like we walked into Sainsbury's to get some bread for Mark. And on the way down, we were like, let's keep our ears and our eyes open and just see what happens. And something cool happened along the way. So, should I finish? Yeah.
Do you want to say anything else?
No, I don't know. Just like I'd encourage you guys to give it a go. Like, my friend's at uni, up in Leeds, and she was saying she sometimes just leaves. She knows she has a lecture at like 1 in the afternoon or something, and she'll leave a whole hour early, even though her lecture's 5 minutes down the road. And she's just like, God, I've got an hour, do what you want, and like lead me wherever. And she's just open because she knows that God will speak to her, and she's just learning to hear his voice. So it's a process, but God can use all of us. So there you go.